Well, I invite you to find your sermon notes. I'm going to be looking at resolving everyday conflict and the fact that there are people involved. And people, as you all know, are unpredictable. That's just one of the things about people. It's actually one of the things that drew me out of engineering and into ministry, is that in engineering, where I studied and started working, once you learn the properties of steel, and okay, you take this steel, you heat it up to this temperature, cool it in this way, you know the tensile strength, you know the breaking point, you know all the properties of it, and therefore then you can build with it, and you need something to hold this much weight, it needs to be this thick, it needs to be this long. Material properties are predictable. And, not to say they're not complex, but material properties are predictable in the things of this world. And then you get to people. And people are anything but predictable. You say, I know how this is going to play out, and whoo, go sideways, go left, go right. People, can throw those curveballs, and people are even unpredictable to themselves. Like, no, I am a vegetarian, I'm a vegetarian, I'm a vegetarian. Ooh, bacon. Whatever it is, we think, that person, they'll never change. And all of a sudden something changes in them. Or that person, man, they have got it all together, and all of a sudden they do something crazy and idiotic. People, you don't know quite what you're dealing with, and their desires and what they're hoping for can be a little bit unpredictable, and they're often different. And that's why we're looking at conflict, of how do we make this possible to work through these differences, these conflicts that we have. So I want to do some review. Some of you have been at every sermon. Most of you haven't. And so let's just sort of wrap this up so you can fill in any pieces you've missed. If this is your first one in the series, you get the whole thing in the Cliff Notes version. But conflict is due to different desires. I want this, that person wants that, and we've got to work it out. It's not necessarily good or bad. It's just there. It's part of life. How do we work with it? And the most powerful reality is that Jesus is in this. That Jesus can be part of this, and that the gospel, that idea of forgiveness of sins is enables us to forgive and work through conflict, to have that ministry of reconciliation like few others. So we have been given forgiveness, and we are to give forgiveness. And for this to happen, we need to have a firm footing, a firm foundation, a place to stand. That's both in our identity of forgiven people by Jesus, that identity, and then the priorities of what am I going to do in this conflict? Am I going to watch out for myself, or am I going to seek how can God be glorified in this situation? What are your priorities? Are you in it for yourself or glorifying God? That matters. But when you're in it for glorifying God, you have much firmer foundation. And you can avoid those slippery edges, as we talked about on that slope, of peace faking and peace breaking, where, okay, over here we're denying, we're running away, we're avoiding, or here we're attacking, we're fighting, we're litigating. Those things don't make peace. But when we stand firmly on, I want to be a peacemaker, I am called to be a peacemaker by God, then you have a firm place to stand. Again, just so those of you who might have missed it, we have these little cards. There are a few of them left, and they've got things like this slippery slope. They've got the 7 A's of confession, these different aspects, a few more in the back, tools for you to use. But we go from there and say, okay, if I am a peacemaker, what do I do? What steps do I take? And we've gone through four critical steps in this peacemaking process. And the first one is to go higher, to bring God into this. So pray. Very simple there. First thing, pray. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge your need for God. And then the second one is get real. How do you get real? You confess. That's called owning your sin. Owning your part in the problem. Owning that it's not just one person, it's two people. Confession. And those 7 A's of confession can be so helpful for this. and then go gently one on one. We have so lost this as a society. Well, I'm going to call an intermediary. I'm going to get a lawyer. I'm going to get a cop. I'm going to get a school official. No, no. The first place the Bible says to start is if somebody sins against you, go to them yourself, one on one. It may or may not work, but that's the best way to start. And then, oh, that doesn't work. Hey, bring somebody else. And then doesn't work. Hey, maybe involve a group. That doesn't work. Well, we'll get to that. That's what we're working on this Sunday, because sometimes it doesn't work. All right, go gently one-on-one and then get together, forgive. Forgive as God has forgiven you. And again, on this we've got the four promises of forgiveness where, you know, I'm not going to dwell on this, I'm not going to bring this up, I'm not going to talk about it with others, and I'm not going to let it be a barrier between us. Forgive. But as I said, sometimes the other person doesn't do their part. Sometimes it doesn't get all worked out. What happens if in that forgiveness, that giving, it costs more than we can bear? Well, we're saying, okay, I want to glorify God. I want reconciliation. But the reality can be very messy. The reality can be a real challenge. So what happens when conflict resolution gets messy? Well, that's where, again, Christianity comes in and says it's a matter of faith. That we need to say, this is messy, but God's way requires me to take some steps of faith, trusting that it's going to work out. We talked about this last week a little bit. Okay, if he sins against you, so if a brother or another Christian sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, repent, forgive him. Forgive him? The apostles say to the Lord, well, increase our faith. This is hard. This requires sometimes saying, I don't see how this is going to work out. I see this going just in a bad direction, but I am going to follow God's ways in faith, trusting that God's going to work it out. Now, it's tempting to listen to the ways of the world, and the world says, oh, you know, go get a good lawyer, get vengeance, get revenge. No, just never talk to them again. Break off all ties with them. But those are advice pieces of the world. But God says, no, I got a better way. But it may require a little bit extra faith to follow it. And we hear it, one part of it, in Romans chapter 12. Now, in Romans chapter 11, it's giving God's wisdom. And if you look at the end of chapter 11, it's saying, wow, God is wise. And then 12 says, well, what do you do about it? Therefore, do these things. And it talks about personally, it talks about with other believers. And then it gets to this section where it says, when things just might not be going well, here's what you do. Bless those who persecute you. Those who are not forgiving, those who are not admitting, those who are not making this all work nicely, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone, evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. So what do you do? Life is not easy. Life is not clean. Sometimes conflict resolution is messy. What do we do? Well, I'm going to look at this passage and just sort of break out 5 things in here. Now, when you have a list like this, one temptation is to focus on the things you already have down well. Focus on the things that you already agree with. But I encourage you to take that extra step and say, ooh, that one hurts a little bit. Ooh, that one makes me squirm a little bit. Ooh, that really challenges me. And where is God's wisdom stretching you to take another step? To maybe do something that's not quite natural in your normal patterns. So, it's not easy, but step one, or not really step one, just item one out of this, of what do we do when it gets messy? Watch your words. What did it say? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Those are your words. All right? Now, when we hear this, we can just skip over it pretty easily, or we can say, okay, well, do you go around, bless you, my child? I mean, the only time I do that is sort of in almost in jest, oh, bless you, my child. But how do we bless people? It's the words we use. May all our words be edifying, building up others, not cutting them down. Bless those who persecute you. Those words can be your words about them to God. Are you praying for them in positive ways? Those words can be your words to them of how you're communicating with them. Do you showing respect? Are you building them up? Those words can be your words about them to other people. Last week in the encounter groups, we thought about gossip, and what is that? Well, we bless people by talking good behind their back, not bad behind their back. Do we bless them in how we talk about them within our heads? Our internal dialogue about that person? Do we bless them in our posts on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever your preferred social media is? Bless and do not curse. Watch your words across the board. That's what we do to glorify God. Another thing is to recognize the other person. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with them. Don't be proud. Don't be conceited. Connect with people. Their emotions matter. Are they hurting? Are they angry? Are they scared? How many times have people done wrong to me, not because of me, but because of stuff in their life that I don't know about? Recognize that they have complex lives. They've got hurt. They've got pain. They've got things they're working through. It's not all about you. All right? And don't be putting yourself up on a pedestal and saying, oh, well, they're down there and I'm up here. No, let's come down and connect together. I got called out in our encounter group. Well, hey, sometimes we got to see, are we trying to fix this person? And I was saying, well, hey, we got it together and they don't. No, no. None of us have it all together. We may recognize areas where, hey, this is someplace that maybe you could, you know, use a little help, but it's not because we're up here and they're down there. No, we recognize that we're all struggling through life together. Recognize the other and glorify God. Don't go dark. A little bit of Darth Vader went into my head there, the dark side, you know? Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends. We sometimes think, you know, everything's new. People are much more vengeful now. Well, apparently they had to share this 2,000 years ago, even within the church. Don't take revenge. It's a natural thing. We want to get back. We want to get it right. But it says, no, evil for evil, that doesn't do it. There's a pretty famous preacher who talked about darkness cannot overcome darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot overcome, you know, hate. Only love can do that. Martin Luther King Jr. It's tempting. Our flesh, our humanness wants to go evil. But that won't overcome things. That won't bring resolution to a conflict. That's not going to change and make that unpredictable where you think, oh, they're never going to get better, they're never going to repent, they're never going to realize how much they hurt to turn. No, darkness has to be overcome with light. Us getting dark, ugly, evil, mean isn't going to do it. It says in James, the anger of you and me cannot accomplish the righteousness of God. Be slow to speak, quick to answer, quick to listen, slow to become angry, because that anger can't do what God wants to do in this world. Don't go dark. Next, we need to accept our limits. This, I think, is more for our own personal survival than this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I'll do it," says the Lord. As far as it depends on you. Sometimes we, some people, in particular have that, "I've got to fix everything" mentality. Or "I've got to be the one who makes it right." Or "I've got to fix it. I've got to..." No. As far as it depends on you. You can't change anyone. It's, one of those first things in therapy. "Well, what about? No. We can work on ourselves. We can change ourselves. We can affect how we live. As far as it depends on us, what can we do in our lives to glorify God? What can we do in our lives to bring God's truths more into our hearts and into our lives? As far as it depends on you, but it only goes so far. And then it's in God's hands. God is the one who can shape hearts and heal brokenness. God is the one who can repay that evil in an appropriate manner at the appropriate time. And here is, again, one of those items of faith. Wait, how can they get away with that? Okay, I'm going to trust God to deal with it. It's God's job to avenge. And I will put in that God uses the government in that. The Bible talks about, even in Romans, it talks about how the government officials, they're put in place to keep evil in check. And so there can be times when the legal system and other checks and balances work to do God's work, but it's not ours to do. Accept our limits. Let us be the peacemakers. Let us be the servants of God, the agents of reconciliation. We leave vengeance up to God, and we leave heart transformation up to God. And what we do is we use the ultimate weapon. That's the final thing here. "On the contrary, if they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It talks about heaping coals on his heads. And I appreciate in Ken Sandy's book that we've been using. And I did find that we've got one copy left. We've given out 119 copies, apparently. So we've got one copy left. If you don't have a copy of this, you can grab it after worship. But he talks about how, if you're storming a wall and, you're trying to take care of those people down there, of dumping burning coals down there. Because you can only stand up under burning coals for so long, and then you finally say, "No! The way I'm doing this is just not working. This is not good." That by doing good, by showing this love, we can overcome evil. By the evil saying, "No, this is not worth it. I'm stepping away." Now, I have heard multiple times about, "Well, back in the day, people used to carry fire on their heads, and you'd dump some coals on their heads, and then they'd carry it, and then they'd have fire, and it was really helping them." I have never found a single piece of historical evidence to support that. All right, I mean, if you have seen that, I've heard it in messages, and it sounds really nice, but I don't think that that's what Paul's saying, or this is taken from the Old Testament. I don't think that that's what they were saying in Proverbs, of, "Oh, this is just nice, put some coals and they can carry it to their house." And if you have reference on that, please, but I really think what they're saying is, "This is just going to become so uncomfortable. They keep being nice to me. Stop being nice to me." That you overcome evil with good. And they don't want that anymore. And they say, "I'm going to change." The ultimate weapon, what is it? It is love. It is really focusing on the love of Christ, of just what God is doing in our hearts and in our minds, and what God wants for all of us. When it says we overcome evil with good, this is another reason to do good in the world. I often go back to, we're called to do good. We are not called to do good to get into heaven. We are not called to do good to earn our salvation. There's this thought of, "Well, if I do enough good, then God will accept me. If I do enough good, I'll get into heaven." No, God says you cannot do enough good. God says, this is a gift of grace that I forgive you. Christ has paid for all that evil you've done by his death on the cross. So why do good? Well, one of it is God says, you'll show that you love me by obeying me. And God's ways are good, so when we obey God, we do good. But also, when we do good, we get to overcome evil. We get to have power in this world that is beyond this world. I gotta ask, how many people might have seen a wedding yesterday morning? All right, I sort of thought a lot of you might have seen that wedding. I was actually not watching, but you know, some of my house was, and I understand that you pretty much had to watch it if you had, you know, the TV on. But you might have, if you were watching, and saw this man. And nobody knew who he was before, but now, like, the world knows who Reverend Curry is. Bishop of the Episcopal Church from Chicago. And, you know, basically everyone's saying, yeah, he stole the show. Oh, yeah, there was a nice dress. There were all these famous people. Oh, look at the Cloonies again. There they are. But this is the guy that everybody is remembering and talking about. Why? Yeah, he was a little bit more animated than everybody else. Yeah, he's American, not British, I understand. But because of the message, the heart that came through. And what did he speak about? He talked about the power of love to overcome and transform. He quoted Martin Luther King Jr., we must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love, and when we do that, we will make this old world a new world. Love is the only way, he said. There's power in love. Don't underestimate it. Don't over-sentimentalize it. We can't even say it. He did better than me. There is power in love. And that is shown in Christ. Again, quoting from this powerful message delivered to millions of people yesterday. Jesus didn't die for anything he could get out of it. Jesus didn't get an honorary doctorate for dying. He didn't. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others. For the good of others, for the well-being of the world, for us. That's what Christ did for us, so that we could be forgiven people, so that we could be filled with love, that we could have a love that's not selfish, not self-centered, that's sacrificial, taking some of that heat, that burden, that weight that others are carrying. And again, quoting, and that way of unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive love changes lives, and it can change this world. I praise the Lord for using that man at that time to deliver that message. I don't know much about him. I'm sure there are things that we might disagree about, but we agree on love. He preached the word to the world yesterday, focused on love. That is the ultimate weapon. So let's see this list again. Of watching our words, recognizing others, not going dark, accepting our limits, and using the ultimate weapon. This is not easy. You may not want to do all of these things. But the Bible says when we're in conflict, when we're being persecuted, when things are not going just peachy keen, everybody agreeing, this is where we turn to. We turn to ourselves and how we behave in that situation. We turn to relying on God's power, taking steps of faith with God to see what God is going to do in this conflict situation, that God may be glorified. And using love above all else. I'm not going to say this quite as eloquently as Curry did yesterday, but how about we just love the hell out of them? All right? We love the hell out of them. All right? We've got evil in this situation. That is living in hell. That is evil. And what overcomes that evil, that power of the devil? That is love. Overcome evil with good. Literally. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for the power of your word. Christ living within us, and living for eternity with you, our advocate, the sender of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we can trust in Christ's ways. in every moment of our lives, when things are going great and when we have struggles and persecution and challenges. Lord, help us to think, how can we glorify you in every situation of our lives as we trust our lives to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.